I am Robert Castanello, an assistant professor of history at the University of Central Florida, and you are listening to the Riches Documentary Podcast.
Ocala.
Tavares.
Daytona Beach.
Oviedo.
Apopka.
Orlando.
Lake Helen.
Winter Park.
Eustis.
Sanford.
Welcome to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Riches, the regional initiative for collecting the histories, experiences, and stories of Central Florida, is an umbrella program housing interdisciplinary public history projects that bring together different departments at the University of Central Florida with profit and nonprofit sectors of the community in order to promote the collection and preservation of the region's history. By facilitating research that records and presents the stories of communities, businesses, and institutions in Central Florida, Riches seeks to provide the region with a deeper sense of its heritage. This series will feature a podcast every 2 weeks, in the middle and at the end of each month, that will explore various aspects of Central Florida history. In today's episode, Integration and Sports, Athletic Recruitment at Bethune-Cookman University, features some of Bethune-Cookman's greatest coaches and athletes. We will look at all sides of integration and how it affected sports and recruitment. This contains some very raw statements which demonstrate how passionately people feel about this piece of Central Florida history.
Our topic today is looking at how integration affected Bethune-Cookman sports programs in terms of recruitment of athletes and coaches. Our panel of guests includes Coach Simon Claren, Coach Tank Johnson, Dr. Nancy Long, and Dr. Sheila Fleming Hunter. I would like to start by asking each of you to tell our listening audience who you are and your involvement with Bethune-Cookman University. Coach Johnson.
My first introduction to Daytona and Bethune-Cookman was in the late 40s. I was a student. My father came here to teach in the industrial trades division that Bethune-Cookman had at that time. Came from Delray Beach. I became really enamored with Bethune-Cookman, and I couldn't have been much more than about 13 years old then. Came back here, and I lived right on the campus because my father lived on the campus in an apartment building. And went to school here and for half of my 10th grade year. And then in 52, when I graduated from high school, I came back here and started my college career here at Bethune-Cookman. Right? I graduated from Bethune-Cookman, and while I was here, I participated in football. I came here on a football scholarship, Grant and Aid, they call it, scholarship. And when I graduated, after going into the military, I came back to work here in 61. Now, I hadn't ever coached anything because I came out of graduate school in 1960. And in 61, when I was asked to come back, and I came back with McLaren because Bunky Matthews, who was still here but working in physical education at the time, who was my coach here, had some physical impairment where he was advised not to coach anymore. So that was the beginning of my coaching career.
Coach McLaren.
In 1949, when I was a freshman coming out of high school in Panama City, Florida, I went to Jake Gaither, who I had been seeing through the years of being close to Tallahassee football program, thinking that I was good enough to become a rattler. Upon the graduation, I went to Jake Gaither, who was Florida A&M coach at that time, said I wasn't good enough to attend Florida A&M because I didn't come from a program like Jacksonville, Miami, Orlando, West Palm Beach, and schools like that. So I told him, well, I have to try to get me a scholarship because I thought I was going to be good enough to join him. So I came to Bethune-Cookman. So he said, well, where are you going to school? I said, I'm going to school to Bethune-Cookman. He said, we're going to beat them every time we meet them. I said, well, you have to do what you have to do, then I have to do what I have to do.
Okay.
So I came to Bethune-Cookman because in high school, from elementary through 12th grade, Richard B. Moore was my principal. So when I graduated, he was the president of Bethune-Cookman. And my father called him, and I got a scholarship to come to Bethune-Cookman. So through my years of playing sports here at Bethune, I played football, basketball, and threw the discus on the track team. Well, I was a country boy who I thought you, my father believed in keeping me busy so that I'd stay out of trouble, you know. So he said, well, if he should come home tired from participating in athletics, he'll get his rest, get his lesson, and what have you. So upon my playing football at Bethune, Ms. Bethune used to come and watch us practice. That was the motivation time when she come out, boy, we try to kill each other. And I really hate to see her drive out with her chauffeur to watch us practice because it escalate the hard-nosed football players, make them play harder than they're supposed to play against each other. If we had my freshman year, we had 21 freshmen coming out of high school, and the majority of the players that we had at Bethune at this time were veterans of World War II because the guys were getting discharged and Uncle Sam would send them to school and all that kind of stuff. So we had a lot of grown guys playing football with us high school kids. So on weekends, it was kind of rough because, you know, they'd go and get a little nip of wine and a nip of beer and stuff, you know. So they were grown. We'll see these guys kind of halfway lit up to a certain degree. Boy, we thought this was the worst team that we could ever be on. But it worked itself out. The coach will be right along with them, you know. They all together and singing the war song and talking about where all they've been and how many people that they shot at and all this kind of stuff, you know. So this was foreign stuff to us. So all of us hung together and made the athletic program, you know, play or do well. So then Branch Rickey and a lot of dignitaries used to come to our campus when Ms. Bethune would have community meetings, and we were only organization in the state of Florida that white and blacks could come together and sit and listen to a program without being segregated. You know, you had blacks sit over here, whites sit over there. We didn't have that. You sit where you can find a seat in the auditorium. And so Ms. Bethune have a lot of dignitaries coming in and everything. Branch Rickey got an honorary doctorate degree of my senior year playing against Florida A&M. I got lucky and caught the touchdown pass to beat Bam 8-7. And so I got drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then I went into the graduation. I went in the Army, and then Uncle Sam called me to come to the Armed Forces because I had gotten deferred a couple times in order to graduate from college. So with me finishing school, went into the Army, then I went to Pittsburgh, stayed 6 years. And then after I got into Pittsburgh 6 years, I got both knees operated on, banged up, operated on, and so then I came to Bethune-Cookman to work because my president at that time, my coach at that time had retired, but he had a heart attack, so he was getting ready to retire, so they brought me back in 1961 to take over the athletic program.
Dr. Hunter?
My name is Dr. Sheila Fleming Hunter. I am an educator and philanthropist and activist, and my involvement with Bethune-Cookman, I used to go to Bethune-Cookman on campus as a little girl in the Methodist Youth Fellowship, and then I was a student at Bethune-Cookman and graduated with my bachelor's degree. Eventually, I became a professor and wrote the history of Bethune.
Dr. Long?
Well, my name is Nancy Zerini Long. I actually have been here at Cookman for almost 20 years. Basically, I am a full-time professor with tenure here.
This is something I talked with Coach McLaren about, how integration affected recruitment of coaches and players. Mm-hmm. Now, how did that affect the women's sports?
Anything in American history or our society, nothing is really isolated. It's just what will be considered primary or first. Certainly, when the integration when integration started, it didn't just affect male sports, it affected all sports.
Yes.
And it affected, and there would be more emphasis placed on the parity or having equality in resources for female sports as well. So that I think the integration would have the effect of now, just as it did from not only the academic but from the sports perspective, where colleges and universities would begin to, majority colleges or white colleges would begin to want to get the top students, just like they would did from not only the academic but from the sports perspective.
When did Bethune become a recognized, really good athletic program where students wanted to come, athletes wanted to come to your program?
Well, it was better when segregation dropped this line. They didn't get a whole lot of players. You know, they got a few select players.
Mm-hmm.
And it was better because Jake had a monopoly on talent.
Right.
So when the major schools, all that black schools that were powerful, most of them got cut out and had to go to the white schools. So the major university wasn't taking a whole lot of black ball players. They'll pick out a select few. So that gave me a chance to go in and recruit, because I'm not going to a FAMU graduate head coach. I'm going to a University of Florida, Florida State, or whatever. And all the athletes, I got a chance to talk to them, and the guy said, well, this youngster here is going to University of Texas, or going to, because everybody from the state that playing football back in my day, like they're doing now, coming to Florida to get talent.
What did integration do to recruitment for Bethune-Cookman?
Well, you know, I was never one of those people who cried integration hurt our recruitment. Family, you could easily do that, I guess. But you know, even back then, after the integration, we still managed to get some super athletes.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't have them all at our disposal. Now, the reason I say that is because they still got their players, and we weren't competing against them at the time. But it's schools like FAMU and Southern and Grambling and those, it really hurt them more than it did us, because I remember a scribe asking me once, said, how do you think Jake would have done playing against the University of Miami and Florida State? How do you think he would have done? I said, okay, let me answer you by making a statement. That during that time, all of the back players that's on their team now would have been at FAMU. Oh, no, I can understand. That's what he said. I didn't have to say anything else. And that was the truth. You see? No. When you know, what's amazing to me is what sports and athletics can do for the attitude of people.
In terms of integration, because Bethune is historically a black college and the sports program is in a conference, the MEAC conference, so they mainly predominantly play other black universities. Do you think she would have stuck with that philosophy, or maybe wanted the programs to expand?
You know, and I guess that is an interesting question. She wanted so much for equal rights for all the blacks. You know, at that time, I mean, she started out, women couldn't even vote, so she was active with that, and then naturally trying to get more women rights, and then the voting, I think that she died right before, as she put it in one of the letters, it was like her one dream to see everyone integrated, and, you know, I think that her philosophy might be that there would be more integration, even, you know, I think she'd be glad that we have foreign students on campus now, and we do have, you know, a mixture of all races on our campus. I think that would probably be something she'd be proud of, because I think her overall goal was to make sure that everyone was treated equally and with great respect. And I think that this integration of the schools that we have now, I think that yeah, she probably would be working for more integration of even our HBCUs. But, you know, her philosophy, I mean, and even I've been here so many years, but We are trying.
The conclusion then is that the integration in America, where in higher education in particular, broaden the opportunities for black males and females to play on white teams in colleges and universities. And, you know, people, you can take any kind of perspective or judgment as you like, but the fact of the matter is black kids had more choices once integration occurred.
When I was talking with both Coach Johnson and Coach McLaren, one of the things that was kind of obvious to both of them was after integration, and given that black athletes had more choices, what would have given Bethune-Cookman a stronghold to keep recruiting?
Well, you know, I think one of the things we don't want to lose sight of, and maybe this is because I'm an educator, but, you know, we have colleges and universities to educate, to produce people with higher education, with bachelor's and master's and PhDs. That's the reason for existence for any institution, any, you know, college or universities. And we don't want to lose sight of that. In addition to that, there are many institutions that are very well known that don't either, one, have sports, or if they do, it's not in these tier one areas. And I'll just, from the black perspective, mention Spelman College.
Yes.
You know, they have sports, like, you know, but it's not really their thing. Morehouse, you know, even Harvard. So we don't want to lose the sight of the whole point of recruiting, even from the sports perspective, is to recruit student athletes. And so student is first and athlete is second.
Student, then athlete. What an excellent way to end the show. I could talk on this for hours. I would like to close our show by thanking our distinguished guest, Coach Jack McLaren, better known as Coach Cy McLaren, Coach Lloyd C. Johnson, better known as Coach Tank Johnson, Dr. Nancy Long, and Dr. Sheila Fleming Hunter. My name is Patrick Anderson, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Feel free to contact us with any questions or comments about the program that you just heard. Thank you for joining us the past 3 years for the Riches Documentary Podcast. The next podcast will launch a new series of locally produced documentaries on the history, culture, and people of Central Florida. We will see you in 2 weeks with an exciting announcement. Please stay tuned.
Felsman.
Bombay.
Geneva.
Hideskin.
Vero, bitch.
Donnellan.